So as you know, we're going to be talking about worship today. And it kind of feels like after that worship time, do we need a talk on worship? That was absolutely amazing. We love the heart for worship here. And I'm a little bit worried that I won't say this at the end, so I'm going to say it now. So some of the teaching that we've prepared, we've taken from Vineyard Worship Values. It's a website. And there's a guy, a theologian called Jesse Dooley up in Scotland, a worship leader. And he's put things so succinctly, it was like, yeah, we'll have to just use that. It's great. Some of it's our own as well, obviously. So some of us might be new to faith or still exploring faith. So in which case, you're still on a journey of trying to work out what does it mean to even know Jesus, and what does it mean to worship him? But for many of us in this room, as we know, you've been journeying for a long time. This was very apparent to us from the very first time that we met here in New Ash Green, that there's such a heart for worshiping the Lord, and we absolutely love it. In fact, we just love some of you to come over to Dartford and just inject your worship into our worship. We're a very different set of folk, really, people who are on different journeys, you know, different places in their journey. But no pressure, we love you. But as I say, we love your worship. So why are we going to talk about worship then, if you know, if you're already on board with this? Or, well, as we're part of the Vineyard, as you know, this is Freedom Vineyard, and worship is our highest priority. And you might be wondering, you're still, some of you, new to the Vineyard, what is different about Vineyard? Well, we do have five values that we just want to share. But before I get onto those five values, I just want to say that in Romans 12, verse 1, very familiar verse, it says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. So when we follow Jesus, worship isn't just about singing the songs. Worship is about our whole lives, from Sunday, Monday, right through to Saturday. It's the way that we behave, it's our attitudes, it's how we spend our money, our energy, our time, how we treat the people, how we treat our loved ones, who we are ourselves with completely. And this is a lifelong journey, isn't it, about learning to follow Jesus and to worship him with our whole lives, like that very challenging verse says. But today we are focusing mainly on worshiping through song. So it's worth stating that it's all for him. Very obvious, but it's all for Jesus. And occasionally I do hear people say, I didn't get anything out of the worship. And this is such like the opposite attitude, because it's not for us. We get blessed. I mean, I was totally blessed, you know, my socks off during that time of worship. But it's not for me. It's for him. It's all for him. And in short, if we get nothing and God gets everything, this is good, because he's the one. He's the one who deserves our highest praise and worship. So out of the five values, we've shared it between us, I'm going to start off with intimacy, because I feel like this is the highest value. Back in the 70s, the hymns and songs of the day were songs which were singing about God. The Vineyard started with a small group of people meeting together in a home. And rather than singing about God, they started to sing to God. They sang love songs to Jesus. And now lots of churches do it. But at the time, this was groundbreaking. It was new. It was singing songs to Jesus and connecting with him that way. And because this is in our DNA, intimacy and worship, it's the highest value. So some of you I might have shared this with, some of you won't know this. I was brought up in a Brethren church, open Brethren, but Brethren nonetheless. And we sang old hymns, which are great, full of truth. In our morning meeting, when I was a child in our Brethren church, we weren't allowed any instruments. go figure, I don't know why. We were allowed the piano in the evening, but in the morning, nothing. And my dad would do what they call strike up the hymn. Basically start the hymn in the right key and sing it with gusto. And I loved, as a child, standing next to my dad and singing along with him, loudly too. But I remember my first experience of a Vineyard song. I was probably about 12, I think. I didn't know it was a Vineyard song at the time, but in hindsight, it definitely was. You'll hear in a minute which one it was. Very famous one. I'd been invited along by a friend from school to a Christian youth club called Crusaders. Some of you might have heard of it. She didn't even go to church, but she invited me along and I went with her. And at the beginning of every session, we used to sing a few songs with a woman leading us on the piano. And one of the songs I used to love was, "Isn't he beautiful, beautiful, isn't he?" You know, a lot of you know it. I loved it. I loved singing. I'd always loved singing, like I said. I'd loved standing next to my dad and singing the hymns. But this song just connected with my heart. It's that intimate value. Dan Wilt, a Vineyard worship leader, says songs are a place we go to meet with God. Songs are a place we go to meet with God. Worship is a holy moment of us encountering the very presence of God. God desires to be profoundly present with his people. And there's a common thread throughout the Bible of the imagery of the temple, all the way from Genesis, right through to the last book in the Bible, Revelation. Begins in the garden, where God's presence was known intimately by Adam and Eve. He walked with them in the garden. Generations later, God gave instructions to Moses to build a tabernacle where God's presence could reside with his people in the Holy of Holies. And that was while they were in the wilderness, of course. In the Promised Land, Solomon built a magnificent temple which the Lord filled with his glorious presence, just as he did in the tabernacle. That temple was destroyed, and then hundreds of years later, God revealed his presence in a new temple, in a human temple, in his very Son, in Jesus. And then at Pentecost, the Spirit chose another new temple, many temples in the form of the church, us, which is where God's Spirit continues to dwell today. And then looking ahead, when Jesus returns in victory, the whole earth will be filled with the presence of God. We live in complete harmony with him. I'm going to move tack now and just talk about the second value, which is accessibility. This is more for worship leaders and musicians. It falls under their responsibility. So as worship leaders, we're not performing songs. We're extending the welcome of Jesus to everyone. And it's our job as worship leaders to choose songs which are accessible, which help people to enter into his presence and take people on a journey of meeting with the Lord. We do this by trying to choose simple songs. We repeat them, repeat sections where we feel that we just need to press into. And we keep brand new songs to a minimum. So we have a rule that we wouldn't have more than one brand new song in a set. Otherwise, people would just be staring at the screen trying to learn the words all the time. We try to choose accessible keys. This can be tricky because it depends whether you're male or female as to whether it suits your voice, but we try our best. And we create spaces for the Spirit to move.
So it was quite interesting before Miranda and I met in terms of pulling this talk together. I really wanted to talk to you guys about integrity and kingdom expectation. And then when I met with Amanda, she was like, "Oh, that's what I had written down for you anyway." So that was perfect. And so I have pages. So this is actually the first time I've spoken in front of a congregation before. Woo! And so I've written pages and pages. There's so many pages. And then at about 5:30 this morning, I got up and I went for a run. And God told me, you're going to actually talk about something completely different. So I think this is for us today. I was writing things, what I thought was for us, but actually God told me this morning what we actually need. And so I'm going to start. So kingdom expectation for me is the real encouragement. Integrity is the challenge, but it's still encouraging. And the nice thing about turning up here on a Sunday and meeting everyone, I think everyone is expectant. Everyone believes that God can do stuff and he can make things happen. And we do believe it. And I feel it in the room. And that is amazing. So I'm not going to be telling you anything that you haven't already heard, but it's just a reminder that when we turn up on a Sunday and we worship God, we're not just singing to a wall. We are worshiping God, and we are an army. And we're an army that band together as brothers and sisters. We're an army that praise the King. We're an army with a war cry against Satan. And this is not nothing. This is a big deal. And the kingdom expectation piece of this, when we come together and we praise God and we worship him and we bless him, is the amazing thing is God is so generous that it's just in his DNA. When we give it all to him, he's so bright. He's like a reflecting mirror. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to reflect some of those blessings back on you. And I'm going to reflect some of this glory back on you as you're doing these things. And so when we come, we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing it for God. But actually, it's just in his nature to give it back. And so kingdom expectation is like truly believing when we sing to God and we worship him, that actually we can feel the kingdom. The kingdom is all around us, but we don't always see it in this, you know, I don't know, is it 4D? Are we in 5D? Whatever this veneer is, we don't always see the kingdom, but it's around us. And so when we worship God, you know, you see people weeping and people have got their arms up because he can break chains. He can mend hearts. He can heal relationships. You know, he can turn sorrow into joy. It is just unbelievable what he can do through worship. And I'm sure I was just bawling my eyes out earlier, and I didn't expect that today. And it's like, I haven't felt like that in a very long time during worship. And it's just amazing. It's just perfect timing. So that's that kingdom expectation, you know, really believing when we worship that God can move, and he really can move, and he can move with the Spirit. And the integrity part of this, so integrity means in life being whole, being undivided, being honest. You know, someone with integrity is someone who doesn't change their mind very often. And so the integrity part of worship, I really love this analogy of being an army. So in the army, you all have your positions, you have your rank and file, you know where you are, and you show up in your position. Obviously in this, Amanda would be the captain of the ship. I would probably be a foot soldier. No offense, Glenn. Obviously, you're both captains. But that's okay. Like, we all have a position. We all have a place. We have different levels. And we're important, but we're not special. And what I mean by that is we have a place in the kingdom, but the world doesn't evolve around us. It revolves around him. And when we focus on him wholly, and we come and we're humble and we're completely open to him and undivided, and we give him our full attention, we come together as an army for him. And so the other part of integrity is actually, how do you turn Sunday into the whole of the week? And so this is the part that God spoke to me. I didn't really think about doing this as a community, but we really need each other. We do this on a Sunday. Isn't it just so beautiful seeing everyone, and you meet people you haven't met in a long time, or strangers and all this? We should be doing this every day as a family. And that means, like, how we rally together on a Sunday as an army, we should be doing that in the week. We should be praying with each other, whether that's meeting up or a phone call or a video call, whatever, or a text message, encouraging each other, loving each other, waging war against the evil one. During, like, we would just talk. Kate, you had loads of words, and I was like, it just completely connected with this talk about the spiritual battle. We don't talk about it enough. There is a spiritual battle going on, and we can fight with God against it. And you know that he's won the war anyway, so we're just in the battlefield. And as we wage war against Satan, we are bringing back those hostages that he's oppressed as well. We go into the streets, and we bring them back into the kingdom, whilst the Holy Spirit just hovers over us all. Isn't that amazing? So I just want to, before I pass it on back to Amanda, I should add a couple of songs. It was, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When we sing that, that's basically the lost sheep. And it's talking about God's love is for everyone. So what I really encourage everyone, because there are people that I really don't like out there. Putin, Donald Trump, all of these kind of guys. Is how can we love everyone Monday to Sunday? That is how Jesus lived his life, and that's how he wants us to live our life. And when we were singing Holy Forever, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. That is saying, you are my number one priority, God. And how do we make God our number one priority? Over Netflix, over our jobs, over everything. Our time, our money, all of our values need to be with him. And so when we sing those songs on a Sunday, we really mean it. Let's mean it through the week as well. And let's team together to do that. And so I've just got these two verses, one from Colossians 3, which is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That is not just for Sunday, that's for every day. And the final one is 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20, which is, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but power.
Thank you, Michael. So we've covered four of the values: intimacy, accessibility, kingdom expectation, integrity. And the fifth and final one is passion. When we're passionate about something, we'll go to extraordinary lengths for it. We'll spend money, time, and energy pursuing our passions. When our eldest daughter was revising for her A-levels, I spotted a concert for her favourite artist at the time. Some of you probably won't know him, but Sam Fender, I'm sure you're probably curious as to who it was. And this was taking place just after she'd finished her exams, probably about a week later. So after chatting to Glenn, we decided this was a fitting reward for all her hard work finishing her exams. So I bought two tickets. Oh, and yes, I didn't say the concert was in Dublin. So I also bought two plane tickets and some accommodation for us. And we made sure on the day of the concert that we were there really early. We were at the head of the queue. And when we got in there, she wanted to be at the front. So we ran. We ran right to the front. And we were on the front row of a 20,000 crowd concert. And we stood in the same spot, apart from being pushed around a little bit, for 6 hours, enduring a rather dubious support band who were off their faces. But it was all worth it. When her favourite artist came on the stage, she was absolutely gone, singing his songs, going for it. She absolutely loved it. And I got to experience that. And that was my passion, to see my daughter enjoying herself. So the things that we're prepared to do for what we are passionate about, they greatly exceed what we are prepared to do for anything else. But what should we be most passionate about? Well, it's about doing what we're created to do, worship God. The Westminster Catechism calls this the chief end of man. The chief end of man, to worship God. In the Bible, we read of King David and how he passionately worshipped. when the Ark of the Covenant was finally brought into the city of David. It hadn't had a straightforward journey. You can read about that if you want to in Samuel, 2 Samuel, I think it is. King David, dressed only in his underwear, decided he would dance with all his might. And later, his wife chastised him because she was a bit ashamed. But he told her he'd be willing to be even more undignified than this in his joyful celebration of thanksgiving to the Lord. He danced and worshipped unashamedly to the Lord. That was his passion. And this does represent passion. But there are times in our lives, due to circumstances that we're going through, when it's hard for us to sing worship songs to God. So how do we press into being a passionate worshipper in those seasons? And I think this is what I most fell in love with at the Vineyard, was that being real, being authentic, but still finding that passion to serve the Lord in season and out of season. Because passion is not an emotion that comes and goes. It has a much deeper root. The passion of Jesus was what sustained him on the road to the cross. This is a different kind of meaning to the word passion that we're used to. The root of the word passion comes from Latin passio, which, far from meaning excitement, exuberance, elation, it actually means suffering, endurance, and perseverance. So Amanda, are you telling me that I need to be passionate about suffering? No. Jesus wasn't passionate about suffering and about the cross, but he was passionate about what lay beyond it. Hebrews 12 tells us, for the joy set before him, he, Jesus, endured the cross, scorning its shame. And then he took his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And Jesus is our perfect example. He's the pioneer of our faith. He's the one we follow. So we are to consider Jesus' passion and follow him in exactly the same way, with perseverance. Again, Hebrews. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So when we grow weary or lose heart, we are to consider Jesus' passion. Throw off everything. Everything that hinders us. Everything. And run that race with perseverance. This is passion. Making that choice. It's a choice, isn't it, to worship. Sometimes we really have to choose to worship. I was reminded when we were singing Goodness of God. That was the song I was singing over and over when I was losing my dad to cancer. And after I'd lost him, when I was grieving, I'm still singing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. You're so faithful. We can still sing, can't we, even in those times? It's a choice to endure things, keeping our eyes fixed on the one we love and the one we love because he loves us so much. So passion in worship is to go to extraordinary lengths, to do whatever we are made to do, however hard it is. And whatever it costs. And even though passion is not an emotion, it is often emotional. And sometimes our worship will be emotional. Sometimes, like Michael, we will weep with tears. Or laughter will bubble up. Or even both at the same time. It's just that overflow of what the Spirit does in us as we allow him and give him our passion. Like the expensive perfume poured out onto Jesus' feet, passion in worship can be costly and it can be messy. And that's how it should be, actually, because we're real and we're messy. Passion isn't having a stiff upper lip in times of trouble. It's a raging fire that doesn't want to be contained. Instead, we should let that fire loose, set the world on flame. Let's all of us be known as a people who worship God with passion. Who worship with passion no matter the cost, whatever we're going through, whatever season. Pouring ourselves out completely for the one that we love.